Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on a gorgeous Wednesday. Starting to get back into a groove weather-wise after a couple squirrely days. Kevin Herr alongside. We have a fun show for you today.
Good, I like
haven't
fun.
Haven't had a chance to look. Have not had a chance to look at the Kevin Herr topics of interest today.
Now, one of your favorites is back on the list, though.
Really? In other words, how do you spell Sao Paulo?
No. One of your favorite topics that we have done on the show many, many times, back on the list today. You'll be excited to know.
Okay, I'll take a look at that in a moment.
Yeah. The
Phillies' bats broke out last night, and Hunter Pence, fighting through some pain, had a big hit. They went 8-5.
Listen, I saw that Hunter
Shane
Pence.
Shane Victorino.
I saw that Hunter Pence swing, and if there's an issue, the cortisone shot took care of it. There was no shoulder issue at all on that swing.
And they need that. Look, the Phillies are going through a West Coast swing right now. West Coast swings are not easy. Especially early in the season. I'm really surprised with what they've done with the schedule that has caused so many West Coast swings early. The Pirates, for example, are playing this afternoon. That was a 1-1 game last I saw in the eighth inning at PNC. It's part of a doubleheader because of the snow out the other night.
Pirates are actually trailing 2-1 top of the ninth now.
Top of the ninth. James McDonald had a no-hitter into the seventh inning for Pittsburgh. Had a no-hitter. It's a gorgeous day there. So at 1-800-795-9565, our number is 1-800-795-9565. Here's the question I want to put out there today as we have a little bit of fun on a beautiful day like this, because I'm watching that game for a little while today, the Pirates-Rockies game. And I'll tell you what struck me was just what a beautiful day it was and being at the ballpark on a sunny day. So what is your favorite ballpark or ballpark memory and why? What is your favorite ballpark or ballpark memory, and why? How about that?
That's a good one. I have to think about that one a little bit.
Well, that's what I mean. People have to think about it a little bit. But I'd like to hear what those ballpark. Now, for some people, sometimes it's the first time they ever walked into a ballpark. And I don't care if it's Citizens Bank, PNC, Forbes Field, Connie Mack, Yankee Stadium, Camden Yards, Fenway Park, Wrigley, or a minor league park. It could be going to Reddings Park, going to City Island to see Harrisburg, going up to historic Bowman Field. It could be Medlar Field, Lebronto Park. I don't know. I mean, it could be any of those that inspires a memory. And that's what we're looking for today. Notice how your email always ends up in the junk mail?
Yeah, you really, I'm starting to take offense to that now.
I'm not kidding. Every time you send me an email, it goes to junk. Okay. What should the Eagles get for Asante Samuel? I would say a late round pick. Let's see.
Wow, you went out on a limb for that one.
They already made the deal. The NFL draft starts at pick 3 with the Vikings trade.
It does.
Okay, we'll talk about that. Well, I know. No, I'm just reading what you wrote.
Oh, sorry.
Jets moving there for Richardson. Is 7 games enough for world peace? I think world peace should be every day. Bo Pelini contract extension. Is Nebraska the next rival for Penn State? I don't know. That's a good question. Giants looking to move OCU in Europe. We'll be giving away prizes for anybody who can spell it. Tim Tebow, number 2 on the Forbes Influential Athletes list.
There was the one I thought you'd enjoy.
Well, but you know what? But see, you're talking about influential athletes.
Right.
And that is legit Because Tim Tebow, for example, on Easter Sunday spoke, and there were thousands of people there to see him. Who's number one?
Number one is Jimmy Johnson.
The race car driver.
Yes. Yeah.
And Tebow is a protector for Pons. Interesting idea for the Jets. That's something, actually, that the Broncos had considered. That's not a new idea.
Well, I'll tell you what, it really opens up the door to doing a lot of different things. It makes fourth down and five from, you know, anywhere from about your own 40-yard line in not an automatic punt at this point.
Well, you know what? From a truck play standpoint, yes. He's big enough, but you know what? I don't want my second-string quarterback running down on punts and then being forced to make tackles.
And that's the ultimate question and right there.
And you don't think that somebody running down the field sees him? Because you're not a quarterback at that point, okay? You can be hit, banged, belted, thrown, anything. Because guess what? You are on the punt cover team. You are not the quarterback. Thus, the rules are different. Can't sit there and hook slide down.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right. And I think that's
the danger. And that's the danger of what we're talking about here. And it is dangerous. You know, sometimes you can get too cute with what you do. That's one of those where you get a little too cute with what you're doing if you put them on punt coverage. I think you're a little bit too cute at that point. Being the second most influential athlete, actually, I find that to be a very serious topic because you don't have to be a starter to be influential. You just have to be somebody that's charismatic enough that people are willing to listen to and take a long look at. I mean, you can be that way. And part of being influential is the ability to cross lines in life. Tim Tebow, to his credit, crosses lines in life. He is not just looked at as a football player. He's also looked at for what he has done off the field. And that's one of the reasons why it's very hard to give an objective analysis of Tim Tebow on a show like this. It's very hard to give objective analysis of Tim Tebow on a show like this. Because when you give objective analysis and you talk about him as a football player, people think you're putting him down as a person. And that I find to be, that's tough on this part of it. Where you objectively say, look, he runs well, plays hard, but doesn't throw the ball well enough. Oh, well, you're just putting him down because of... No, you're not. You're just talking about him as a football player, which, guess what? We are allowed to do. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565 is our number. Let's go to Suzanne in Sealands Grove. Hi, Suzanne. It is wonderful to hear from you on this beautiful Wednesday.
Okay, now, I don't know what I have gotten in on. I'm sorry, but I just came from the Sharon Lutheran Church in Sealands Grove, Pennsylvania, and I gave blood, and they're having a blood drive, and we need people.
How long does this blood drive go on, Suzanne?
It goes until 6 o'clock tonight.
All right.
And it's at the Sharon Lutheran Church, and I thought of no other way to get the word out and possibly get some people down there. They had something like 70 people sign up and for appointments, and thus far only about 10 to 15 people have shown up. We need that blood to help save lives.
Suzanne, is it across the board, or is there a particular type more than any other that is a greater need right now?
I do not know the answer to that. I am not a representative.
Got it.
I am merely a person who gives blood to try to save lives, and I just happened to have an appointment today at 2 o'clock. And when I was down there, I was extremely disappointed, and so were they. So I'm just trying to do something for the community.
Suzanne, you're doing exactly that right now. So once again, this goes till 6 o'clock this evening. This is at the Lutheran Church in Sealands Grove.
The Sharon Lutheran Church on the main street just
Sharon Lutheran Church on the main street in Sealands Grove, and they're there till 6.
Yes, just south. That church is just south of the post office.
Suzanne, we're more than happy to get the word out because that is a very, very important cause. So whatever we can do to get the word out to get more people to the Sharon Lutheran Church in Sealands Grove to donate blood today because they're going to save lives by doing so.
Absolutely.
Suzanne, thank you so much for thinking of us and allowing us to get out the word for you on something that's very important.
I knew it wasn't a sports-related topic, but it was definitely worth it.
No, we have to get the word out on that. It's very important. So, and we'll mention that several times during the show because they're there till 6. The Sharon Lutheran Church on the main street in Sealands Grove, blood drive till 6. Very important to get the word out about that cause. Other people making most influential among sports: Jeremy Lin, Manny Pacquiao, Eli Manning, the third most famous quarterback in New York.
That was good, too. I was hoping you were going to use that.
Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers are out there as well.
Yeah, 6 of the 10 on the list were NFL quarterbacks. Peyton was also on the list, too.
Well, Peyton Manning, look, that's one of the things. I was in Indianapolis the day the announcement was made. I was there. And it was very emotional. But then when the articles came out the next day, and again, when you do not live in an area, you sometimes don't have the full picture and impact of somebody. And when you start realizing the Peyton Place Foundation, you start realizing that Peyton Manning Children's Hospital, look, that's Peyton Manning did that. And you start realizing the impact that he had on the state of Indiana and not just Indianapolis. It's just off the charts remarkable. Tim Tebow is someone who, again, his influence on people and the fact that he is a charismatic personality, very important. He meant a lot to the people at Denver when he was there. Now, does he need to be a better quarterback? Yes. He's not one of the top 100 players in the NFL yet. Could be, but not yet. He's only played 2 years in the league. And at his particular position, there are many times it takes longer to develop into a very good player at his position of quarterback in the National Football League, which is a different level and a different speed and different miles per hour. So he has to improve as a quarterback to make himself into a top-flight star quarterback. Now, as an influential personality, he absolutely is that. Absolutely is that. By the way, a little bit later in the show, in fact, after the news at the bottom of the hour, we're going to hear from Stephen Hill. He was the National Pitcher of the Week in college baseball last week. Why? He threw a no-hitter in leading Penn State past Iowa 2-0. We'll hear from him. You want to talk about somebody with personality? Former fifth-string Nittany Lion quarterback.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting. There's a lot of guys that have gone baseball, football, and made that transition back and forth. Some of them, actually, there's one in the NFL draft, actually, coming up on Thursday, that has made the transition back from baseball to football.
Right. Well, there have been several. Jesse Alfrino made the move from football to baseball. O.J. McDuffie played baseball. Kajana Carter played a little bit of baseball. Kurt Warner played a little bit of baseball. Mike Gooman played a lot of baseball. Mike Gooman was an excellent pitcher. Back in the late 70s, the top two pitchers that Chuck Medler had were Dave June, who, by the way, also threw a no-hitter in his career, and Mike Gooman. Those were the top two starters that he had. Derek Bonner. Derek Bonner was an outstanding baseball player while being one of the top corners in the Big Ten. Paul Cianciolo, third-string quarterback, threw a touchdown pass on a screen to Tony Hunt against Michigan back in 2006. Also, a very good baseball pitcher here at Penn State. Well, Stephen Hill is another one of those guys who's made the transition from football to baseball, and this is where he's making his big contributions. He was not going to move up the depth chart on the football team, I can assure you of that.
It sounds like he made the right move.
He did make the right move, but his personality is off the charts. You should have seen Cody Lewis and Stephen Hill do the lineup on the Big Ten Network 2 weeks ago in the game I did. They were a riot. A riot. So you're talking about a guy that has some personality. We'll talk with Mr. No-Hitter at 3:35 following the news, and then we'll get back. We'll talk more about the Phillies. We saw a little bit of an offensive explosion last night. 8 runs. Hunter Pence had a big night at the plate. That's big. Trying to get themselves on track out west. Finally had the final game of the Coast Swing today. 3 game 7s in the NHL. Ron Artest gets 7 games. And I want to know, what is your favorite ballpark and why? And what's your favorite ballpark memory? 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. Tomorrow, our mock draft. We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show on WKOK on this beautiful Wednesday after this. Okay. The one park I did not expect to get into the mix here as favorite ballpark memory was Memorial Stadium in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Now, I expected Camden Yards. I do expect at some point somebody will call up about Camden Yards. I do expect that. But then Sarah Bartlett just tweeted that Memorial Stadium in Baltimore was one of her all-time favorites.
Yeah, she said that favorite ballpark memory, Memorial Stadium, bargain nights with my family. And she actually tweets a picture. Steve, you've got to go onto our site to see this one. It's actually a photo of young Sarah in the ballpark. And I mean young Sarah as at about 6, maybe 7 at best.
Okay, so that's on our website. Hold on.
Yeah, that's available.
Let's go back to our website here.
Yeah, if you go to
on the website, I get tweets, but see, the last tweet I have on here on Howard's improving Hunter Pencil.
Well, that's because that's one that we sent out. The ones that we send out, if you go to twitter.com and log in, you'll be able to see people tweeting us.
All right, twitter.com.
This is compelling radio right now.
In fact, you know what, Ryan? I'm going to tweet I'm wearing a golf shirt because I know you want me to put those things out there. You think people are interested in my life.
Well, you know, everybody saw you were wearing a golf shirt on Saturday, so you didn't need to tweet it. It was no big deal. They had you on the Big Ten Network 2 or 3 times.
There you go. Absolutely. What have I been trying to tell you?
Although if I'm Jack Ham, I'm a little bit upset. Because Jack is in, there's a little bit of a separator between the two open air windows, we'll call it, in the booth. And Jack is covered with the camera angle by that separator. Steve's got the whole window to himself all alone. He's got the big picture on the Big Ten Network. Jack's face is gone.
Well, that's because one of us has camera sense.
All right.
No, In fact, I talked to Jack today. He called me today. He called me, and then I had to call him back, so I left him a message. I said, this is Steve Jones calling from the Steve Jones Center for Kids Who Don't Broadcast Good. Great to have you with us.
I sent you the link. It gave you a laugh.
What link?
I sent you the link. Go ahead and copy and paste that into your...
Hold on. It's on my email now?
No. No, it's on your screen. Copy and paste that into a web browser and you'll be fine.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Copy prices. All right. I'm looking at it now.
This is going to take till the end of news for you.
I'm never going to get this.
Picture.
You know darn well I can't.
Oh, man.
Okay, I'm never going to get this. All right.
All right. I'll take care. I'll do it for you. How's that?
Do something, all right? Because obviously, you know, I know where the camera is, but I'm not going to.
I'll get you squared away. Don't worry.
Yeah.
This is starting to become painful.
Yeah. But again, Hunter Pence back. Big hit last night. Played through the pain. Now they get one final game out west. They can come home. And they can do some damage back at home. They can start righting the ship here. And that's what they need to do, start righting the ship. Because obviously, offensively, they scored 8 runs last night, which was tremendous. Favorite? why, or favorite ballpark memory. 1-800-795-9565. And don't forget, at the Sharon Lutheran Church in Sealands Grove, they're having a blood drive today that goes till 6 o'clock. I know they've been disappointed by the numbers so far. Here's your chance to make a big difference in someone's life. And I can tell you, as someone who's been around a youngster that has needed a few transfusions in his life, it saves lives. So be the first one out there to help out. Okay, Sharon Lutheran Church, Main Street, Sealands Grove. They're there till 6. We want to see you there as well. As we continue with the Steve Jones Show after the news.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Joe Paterno has been named the winner of the Dick Enberg Award. The College Sports Information Directors of America will hand out its special awards on June 25th in St. Louis. And Jay Paterno will accept on behalf of the family. So Joe Paterno honored with the Dick Enberg Award. Previous winners include Dean Smith, who's struggling right now, obviously, with Alzheimer's. Bill Russell, Dr. Donna Shalala, the president of the University of Miami, and former U.S. Secretary of Education, former chancellor at Wisconsin. Judge Alan Page, associate judge in the Minnesota Supreme Court, and number 88 for the Vikings, NFL Hall of Famer. 2003, Dr. Tom Osborne, the director of athletics and former head football coach at Nebraska. Ted Leland, director of athletics emeritus at Stanford. Father Theodore Hesburgh. Father Hesburgh received that, former president at Notre Dame. The late President Gerald Ford in 2006. Pat Summitt in 2007. Chuck Lee, the CEO emeritus of GTE Corporation. Steve Smith from Michigan State, what a great basketball player he was, and has had an incredible, he's taken his money that he made in the NBA and has invested incredibly well. The former commissioner of the Pac-10, Tom Hansen, good friend of Enberg's, and Jackie Joyner-Kersee, UCLA and U.S. Olympian, won it last year. They will accept that award on behalf of the 25th in St. Louis. There's the Sarah Bartlett picture. Favorite ballpark memory, Memorial Stadium bargain nights with my family. And there's a picture of Barty. That same Sarah Bartlett smile.
I'm guessing 7 at best. More like 5. Right.
I think she's wearing an Orioles t-shirt.
Yes. Well, it looks like it. I can read the Baltimore.
And she's in the upper deck at Memorial Stadium. She's in the upper deck of Memorial Stadium. And that's her favorite, one of her favorite ballpark memories. But again, that is going to the park when you're young. I told you what my first memory of going into Fenway Park.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when I received my tickets yesterday. I have 2 tickets, 8 rows behind the visitor's dugout at Fenway for Saturday, May 5th. I'm speaking to the Penn State Club of Boston that night. So I got a hold of a friend that I know has season tickets. He says, hey, they're yours. Got them FedExed yesterday, and I'm going. This is, of course, the 100th year of Fenway Park. It's 100 years old as of last week. This will be the 50th different season I have gone to a game at Fenway Park. How about that?
Wait, that's how many?
And 50th. This will be the 50th different season I've gone to a game at Fenway
You're
Park.
You're that old.
Yeah, I'm that old. Yeah. I'm 54. Now, again, you're saying 1963, that was 49 years ago, but I said the 50th season, because 63 would count as a... So it's the 50th season I'm gone. This is the 101st season of Fenway Park, you know.
That's correct. I read that somewhere.
It's the 100th birthday, but it's the 101st season, because 1912 was the season, right?
So what's
Penn State football, for example, There was the 125th season of Penn State football. But this year, by the way, when they hit, what, November 10th, it'll be 125 years old. Okay? In the 126th season. So this is the 50th season. First time I went was 5 years old. I went with my father, my brother, my grandfather on my mother's side, and my mom's Uncle Jesse. And I remember Uncle Jesse bought my brother and me roasted, hot roasted peanuts outside the ballpark. Oh, my goodness. It's incredible. It was incredible. All right. Then I go in there, and I mentioned how Mantle homered. He homered right-handed. So I never saw my father jump like that. I saw Roger Maris homer. I remember we were sitting on the third base side, close to the wall. I was 5 years old, first time I went. And I remember going the next year, seeing the Yankees again in 1964. And, you know, and we always went on Little League trips up there all the time. Our Little League, look, getting Red Sox tickets was not a difficult proposition until 10 years ago. This Red Sox Nation thing, hey, you know. No, New England loves the club. But at the same time, they were not selling out games. I could walk up to the bleachers and get bleacher tickets anytime I darn well felt like it. Because they weren't selling out. It's just the way it was. I mean, this whole thing about, you know, I mean, there are a lot of people who have sprained some ankles, you know, jumping on the bandwagon. But, I mean, they're in there now. But, you know, ballpark, man, that's what I want to hear. 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565 is the number. What's your favorite ballpark and why? What's your favorite ballpark memory? You may have a ballpark memory just that to you, it just resonates. Sarah Bartlett tweeted hers. Memorial Stadium, Baltimore, sent us a picture. Upper deck, can't be more than maybe 7 years old at the time. Kevin's favorite was that eighth hot dog at Boo's Barbecue down in Camden Yards. Well,
no, that's my favorite stadium. My favorite trip was probably, it was actually probably the third time I went to a game, and it was photo day at the Old Vet, so they let you on the field, and that's the first time I had ever walked on AstroTurf or any kind of turf, and I remember thinking, wow, this is really like spongy. I feel like I'm bouncing. So we were having fun. We were about, you know, like 7, 8, 9, just in Little League. So we're bouncing around on the turf, and I kind of bump into the line where Mike Schmidt was. And he just kind of smiles. He grabs the, nervously hand him my pen and pad, signs it with a wink, puts his number on it, and just kind of chuckles as we go bouncing back. From that very moment on, I wanted to be a third baseman. And from that very moment on, I became a Phillies fan. I was a Pirates fan growing up in the 70s for a long time, and all my friends were Phillies fans. But that was the moment that I became a Phillies fan, was that particular day. And as I recall, that same game, it was Luzinski who hit a grand slam over the center field wall. It's the only one I've ever seen.
Well, you'd never know it by the last 20 years, but the Pirates have been the far more successful franchise in Pennsylvania.
That's true.
Over the long haul. I mean, the Phillies have won two World Series, 1980 and 2008. So you hear about the long-suffering Red Sox fans, for example. Well, I'm sorry, it has nothing on what Philly fans went through until 1980. And I've often told the story of the great baseball announcer Byram Sahm. By Sahm was the voice of the Philadelphia A's for many, many years. In the last few years of the Philadelphia A's, they were terrible under Connie Mack. And finally, the Philadelphia A's moved to Kansas City, became the Kansas City A's. And Charlie Finley bought them. So when that happened, By Sahm then moved over to the Phillies and worked with an old friend of mine, Bill Campbell. And the Phillies, of course, and the playoff system back then was one team won the American League, one team won the National League, and played the World Series. There were no playoffs. Unless there was a tie at the end for the pennant, then you had either a one-game playoff or a best-of-three playoff. Well, the Phillies were never in that spot. And By Sahm finally retires in 1975, never broadcasting a championship. In 1975, he retires. After broadcasting the Philadelphia A's, and the Philadelphia Phillies may have the worst record of any announcer in the history of sports. So in 1976, his first year in retirement, the Phillies win the National League East. And Harry Callis and Richie Ashburn, I believe with Andy Musser too.
Yep.
Did one of the classier things you'll ever hear of. When the Phillies finally had the chance in 1976 to clinch, the first opportunity to clinch the Eastern Division Championship, they asked and then brought Bison back into the booth and allowed him to call the clincher because he had never had that moment in his career. Now that's class.
Then, of course, Harry goes on in 1980 and never gets a chance to call the World Series win that year because at that point on radio, you had to carry the national broadcast even if you were the local affiliate in Philadelphia. And they changed that rule after that. It became known kind of as the Harry Callis rule that at least in your city, you could hear your own broadcasters call the game. But in 1980, he had to record it in studio for them to use it on the year DVD at the end of the season.
Do you realize that the first bowl game Fran Fischer ever announced was the 1983 Sugar Bowl National Championship?
Well, it's not a bad one to have to announce.
I'm saying that's good timing. That's the first one he did.
But that's the first one.
That's the first one he did.
Wow.
He didn't broadcast any of the Orange Bowls, Fiesta Bowl, any of that stuff. He did not broadcast a single bowl game in his first 16 years on the Penn State Sports Network.
You think of all the bowl games.
And he didn't do the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Right, and he didn't do the Rose Bowl in 94 either.
You know, all those bowl games Penn State was in, you would think there would be more than that. Wouldn't have not have been the first. But at least
but
it was a memorable
rule
one.
But the rule was what you just talked about. You weren't allowed to broadcast it to your local radio network. That's why he couldn't do it. That's why the first 16 years he didn't do a single bowl game.
Oh, I thought you meant
didn't
it was just the timing of everything. I didn't realize that was the reason.
That was the reason. You just talked about the Harry Callis rule. I was just explaining. Fran went through the same thing.
Oh, see, I only knew it was baseball. I didn't realize it was it had changed elsewhere.
It was across the board.
Wow.
Nope, it was across the board. And, see, I've been fortunate. I've done every NCAA tournament game, every NIT game, and every bowl game since I've been the announcer. I've done every one of them. Because all the rules changed before me. So I've done every NCAA tournament game, every NIT game, every bowl game I've done. Fran didn't even, they didn't even change the rule before the 1995 Rose Bowl game. Fran didn't do that. It was the next year when they played, what was the next year they played him with the Outback Bowl, something like that. That was his second bowl broadcast ever after the 1995 season. How about that? Long, distinguished career that he had, and he gets his second bowl game? You have to be kidding me. All the years Fran worked, Fran did 6 bowl games in his career. That was it. He did 6 bowl games in his career. I've done 8. I mean, rules like that, it took a long time to work out rules like that. Because, look, fans want to hear their local broadcasters. No matter what people think about, they have a national radio contract, people want to hear their own guys. They get in the car, they don't want to hear, Joel Myers is a great announcer. He's a great announcer. Done the Raiders, the whole thing, great voice. You go to play and you want to, cast the voice of God for your play, Joel Myers would be a good choice, okay? But you get in the car, you want to hear your guy doing the game because that's who you're used to hearing it. They finally figured that out, and now radio networks can do that. And that includes baseball, football, basketball, hockey, everything. All right, so your favorite ballpark memory. Kevin, Sarah Bartlett tweeted hers. Favorite ballpark memory or favorite ballpark. Memorial Stadium in Baltimore, hers, being there with the family first time. See the beautiful green grass in the background, scoreboard in the background, deck. She tweeted that. I remember going to the park first time, 1963, but my favorite ballpark memory is game two of the 2004 World Series. And Kevin's favorite ballpark memory was winning a hot dog eating contest at Camden Yards. So what's yours? What's your favorite ballpark and why? And it could be anything. Connie Mack Stadium, Forbes Field, could be Citizens Bank, PNC, Camden Yards, Nationals Park, could be a minor league park, could be City Island in Harrisburg, could be Bowman Field up in Williamsport, could be at Reading, whatever. It could be any of those. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. And a beautiful day like this where there is some afternoon baseball, oh, that'd be great to bring that out and find out what people, what their favorite ballpark or memories happen to be. 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. Back with more of the Steve Jones Show with Kevin Hur in tow. After this on WKOK.
Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza would like to give you some advice on your next used vehicle purchase. There are many dealers offering $2,000 over Kelley Blue Book value for your trade, or a minimum of $3,000 for your clunker. Do you know what that means? It means these dealers are asking $3,000 too much for their vehicle. At Sunbury Motors, we have the lowest price promise on pre-owned vehicles. We research the market and make sure our prices are the lowest of any similar vehicle within a 50-mile radius from a franchise dealer. We also put our used vehicles through a stringent 135-point inspection, making sure you're getting a quality vehicle. So don't be fooled by the smoke and mirrors from these screaming dealers offering unrealistic trade offers. Visit Sunbury Motors online at www.sunburymotors.com, or better yet, come in and see that every pre-owned vehicle is clearly marked with our lowest price promise. Sunbury Motors, proudly serving Central PA for almost a century. And remember, always ask for a Carfax.
At Comfort Specialists, they know that when you're comfortable, life is good. Outside, the birds are chirping. Inside, your heating and cooling system will be purring when you visit the pros at Comfort Specialists.
At Comfort Specialists, they know when you're comfortable, life is good.
Great to have you with us. Beautiful, beautiful Wednesday afternoon. And again, if you're going... if you're in the Sealands Grove area, we want to strongly encourage you to go over to the Sharon Lutheran Church, because they're having a blood drive there until 6 o'clock this evening. And they have been disappointed by the results so far. We want to change the game there right now. We want to change the game there right now. Get people there, donate blood, because you can make a difference. Big difference. And we would like to get you out there. So they're there until 6, so 2 more hours to go. Sharon Lutheran Church in Sealands Grove on the main road. So stop by, donate blood, because you know what? You have a chance to save a life. Kevin's favorite ballpark memory, he was telling me, was that I guess you hit a Little League home run and peaked at 12.
Yeah, come on. I said I was not going to use that because of I knew you'd have a field day with it.
But still, you were in the zone and you passed the guy going to second.
I did not. I almost did. I couldn't figure out why he was in a trot, though. Listen, I hit 2 home runs in my entire career, and that was number 2. It was over at 12. That's it. Sports was gone for me at that point. From an athlete standpoint, anyway.
Yes.
I have the ball. Show
and then, you have the ball.
Good. I do have the ball.
All right, now, you were talking to Daniel, and you're watching the rebroadcast of the game.
Yes, and I said,
and your son is a piece. Your son's a piece of work.
I said to him, I said, now this is. I said, do you remember Mr. Jones? You met him a few years ago at the Penn State game. I said, "This. Oh, yeah, now I know who you're talking about. I didn't remember. But who's the big guy in the background?" And I must have lifted my arm at one point, and he saw my watch. He goes, "Oh, that's you. Okay." I said, "Go play your Xbox, will you please?"
There you were, in color on HD.
And I don't look any tinier in HD either, let me tell you that.
Did I say that? And by the way, speaking of which, I want to get something out, too. We're talking about going there. We want to get as many people out to see us at the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club on Wednesday, May 9th. Kevin and I will be doing the show there after playing in the Purdy Golf Tournament. So come on, we're going to do the show there. We're going to have an open mic. We want to talk to as many people as possible. Stay there. We'll do whatever, you know, whatever you want along the way. Sign whatever you want. We'll have a great time. We're going to be a part of a great event. It's going to be a Wednesday, May 9th. And I am personally really looking forward to it. I think we're going to have a blast playing golf that day. I can't wait to see everybody, meet everybody. We're going to do there from 3 to 5 live.
We're not going to win anything, but we'll be there to play.
That's irrelevant. That is totally irrelevant. I think the big part is we're taking the show on the road. We're going to be right there. We want people to come out and see us, have people be a part of the show, talk with us. We're going to have a great time with it. Well, I'll stay extra time afterward as well. And I think we're going to have a blast. And to be out there for the Purdy Golf Tournament, as far as I'm concerned, is going to be a great day. And it's something I've had circled, marked, and looked forward to for a long time. So, great news. Can't wait to. Now, next week, I'll be at La Primavera on Wednesday night.
Actually, I'll be joining you there, too. I'll be joining you there, too, now. I'm just there for the food, though. Hello?
Okay, well, that'll be at La Primavera. That will be on Wednesday night. Looking forward to being out there with all the folks, at least most of them. We'll have a lot of fun next Wednesday night. The next two Wednesdays, we're going to have a blast. We're going to have a blast. I'm looking forward to both events. So it'll be great. And again, if you can get to Sharon Lutheran Church before 6 o'clock this evening, donate blood. They are in desperate need. That's in Sealands Grove, Main Street. Okay. Suzanne called us earlier in the show. We want to make sure we get the word out. Favorite ballpark. What's the ballpark? You go, wow, this is my favorite. And why? Or favorite moment at a ballpark. Could be just walking in. Okay? My favorite park, Sarah was able to get her favorite moment on Twitter. Her at the ballpark is a youngster Upper Deck Memorial Stadium in Baltimore. Kevin's favorite park is Parc Jarry in Montreal. Unusual choice. But I'm sure in some ways, Parc Jarry, which was in existence from 1969 to 1975 at the Expos, I'm sure had its own charm, including the great public address announcer who used to announce the catcher for the Montreal Expos, John Bocabella.